You know, we are in a season where God is shaking things up a little bit, you know? We can't get too comfortable, because when we get comfortable, we can miss what God is saying or what he's trying to do. And I've been experiencing this a lot with the messages he's been giving me. You know, I'm used to doing things a certain way, and I do still have 5 points. He's allowed that, at least. But I was awakened. You know, sometimes we don't get a lot of sleep for various reasons. And I was awakened. I actually took a nap, which is unusual for me to be able to fall asleep during the day. But I hadn't slept a whole lot, and so I took a nap, an hour and a half or so. And as I was being awakened, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision. You know, sometimes I think it would be good if we see ourselves, if God allows us, you know, to have a view of ourselves and us and where we're at. And I saw myself, and I was weeping uncontrollably. I just couldn't stop because of the revelation. And this is what I said. Over and over and over again, I'm saying to somebody in this congregation, actually, who remain unnamed to protect the innocent, I said, I'm rich! I'm rich! I'm rich! And I wasn't talking about money. I was talking about how blessed I realized I was. Because of him. Not anything to do with money whatsoever. And, you know, sometimes I just don't think we just don't get it. The spiritual blessings that have been opened up because of the cross of Jesus Christ. We don't understand the promises in the scriptures that he has made available to us. You know, life gets busy and we just get complacent, I think, and we forget. Selective amnesia, if you will. We know what the scripture says, but we don't live like we believe it. And I sensed, you know, God was revealing in that dream or vision, reiterating, reminding me the blessings of Jesus Christ in my life because of him. And I'll introduce this with a few scriptures. John 3:34. You ready with me? If I do finish, you know, her fingers are going to get a workout this morning. I call this, as you know, pearl stringing. When I don't preach from one passage, but I string together the scriptures. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives what? The Spirit. Without measure. Do you understand? You can have as much of him as you're willing to take. The scripture says he gives the Spirit without measure, without any kind of boundaries or limitations, but it depends on us. It depends if we're in a receiving mode or whether we're distracted. Or whether our attention is on other things when God is trying to speak. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to what? That same Holy Spirit, that power that's at work within us. Do you understand that power? He's chosen to have you as a beneficiary of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not some insignificant thing. That's a very significant thing. And it's a very powerful thing. But here's the issue. We have to yield to that Holy Spirit. For the power to flow, it can't be about us. It can't be about our agenda. It has to be about His agenda and about His kingdom. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. And Kathy was quoting this scripture. She didn't even know I had it in my introduction. Remember when she got up a few moments ago? Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. It's talking about the blessings of God, the provision of God, the promises of God being fulfilled in us and then through us as well. Because when we realize this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, we will commit ourselves to do something with that treasure, to display it to the world for His glory. That's why you were created, for His glory. You understand that? Everything He did was for us, for mankind. So, actually, somebody has I almost entitled this after the email address of somebody, Rich in Him. But instead, I entitled the message, Rich Because of Him. Talking rich because of Him. Abundantly rich because of Jesus Christ. So, let's get started. Take a little walk in the scriptures together this morning. First thing that we experience of His riches is the riches of His kindness. The scripture talks about this. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? You know, I call that a setup. God is so good that eventually we have to yield to that goodness. We can't deny how good He is, how faithful He is. And it leads us to a point of humility and repentance. It's not just talking about salvation here, although it is. It's talking about yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to be more careful, I think, is what the way I would say it, to be more aware when the Holy Spirit wants to do something or say something, and we have to be available and not be distracted by other things, even our own needs, because, you know, it tells us repeatedly that God will provide for our every need. Don't worry about those things. And Jesus talked about it in the Gospels, about the sparrow and different things and how they don't labor, but God provides. His kindness leads us to repentance. You know, and there's something about that word there. It's talking about how it flows, that the abundance of the Lord just flows from Him. And again, we have to be a recipient of that. Sometimes we have to just take our thinking of who we thought God was because of what people said or what people did to us, and on and on and on, and we just have to say, Lord, who are you? I want to know you and the power of your resurrection, as it talks about in Ephesians. I want to know you. So it's talking about God's kindness or goodness or excellence or uprightness or the flowing abundance of His kindness towards those who believe. You know, he doesn't turn off the spigot, if we want to look at it that way. Once He opens it up, only you can turn the spigot off by refusing to receive of that abundance, of that kindness, of that goodness, of that excellence, the riches of His kindness. Ephesians 2:7 talks about His kindness toward us in Christ. So let's read it in context. Ephesians 2:5-8. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, that's a big word for sin. Even when we were sin, when we were totally lost without Him and we didn't even know it, even then, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So, if you understand covenant, God has made a covenant. When we become born again, we are partakers of the new covenant, which we read in 1 Corinthians 11 when we talked about the bread and the cup. You came into covenant when you were born again, when you received that gift of salvation there, that the Scriptures refers to. And it sets in motion God's commitment for the long haul. That's what it's saying. He started something on that day of salvation, but He's continuing that very same thing all through your life. Not going to stop. And so our part of covenant is to continue to say, yes, Lord. To agree and believe that He did what He did and said what He said, and He's going to commit His very self and His word to it to make sure it comes to pass. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, Jesus, when the kindness of God appeared, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His great mercy. by the washing of the regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. This is what I call an impossibility. God applies something that is red and it becomes white. You understand that? Your sins were as scarlet. But when the blood is applied, you become white as snow. It doesn't compute. It doesn't make any kind of sense to the human understanding. But you have to take that and apprehend it in the spirit man and say, thank you, Lord. You did what I could never do. And your blood has made me whole once again and will continue to do so. So we need to spend time with him and in his word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. You know, we should never lose this childlikeness. No matter how long we walk with the Lord, we should always be open like a child. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If, there it is, if you have tasted of what? The kindness of the Lord, the kindness of his riches. That's the growth process. To have a steady diet on him and on the word. When we stop that, we become anemic. We even become difficult and cranky and not fun to be with. That's how I get if I'm negligent in that time and in the word. So what does the scripture say? Psalms 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to keep tasting. And you will find that you are rich because of his kindness. That's never going to stop. That's who he is. That's his character. The richness of his kindness. And I don't know about you, but I still can't fathom that. I still can't fully understand why he's so good to me with all the things I've done, all the times I've betrayed him. He still loves me. He not only loves me, he's committed to love me, no matter what. Whew. Just think about that. You know that sometimes you feel sometimes that you're unlovable? I do. Even then, he still loves you. Doesn't matter how you feel, it matters how he feels. His commitment to love you no matter what. His love will stand the test of time. You are rich because of his kindness. Secondly, we are beneficiaries of the riches of his glory, of his honor, of his glory, of his praise. And I actually like to say the richness of his glory. the richness, not the riches, the richness of his glory. Ephesians 3:19 talks about that. That you may what? To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God, of him. That's a tall order, being filled to all the fullness of God. But he's committed that if you keep pursuing him, if you keep chasing after him, you know, we sang it this morning, his love is running after me. It's running after me. It's not waiting until I get my life together, till I get my act together. It's running after me. It's pursuing me all the time, bringing me captive to that matchless love, the love that changed me forever. I'll never be the same because of his love. Romans 9, verse 23, talks about the riches of his glory. But let's read Romans 9, 22 to 23. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? He did so in order that he might make known what? The riches of his glory. That he might enlighten you and impact you with the riches of his glory. Upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Think about that for a moment. What that is saying is, before you even knew him, he was preparing you to be a vessel of his glory. To allow that glory to impact your life in such a way that you could then live a testimony, be a testimony of his grace, of his love, of his glory. Even whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also Gentiles. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, 18 to 20. I pray, this is a good prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And by the way, as a side note, that's where you're seated, in spiritually speaking, seated with him in the heavenlies, the scripture says. And the only way that can happen is if you're made worthy. If you've been impacted by the cross, by the love of Christ, and living in covenant with him. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So, it's not based on how you feel. It's not based on what you see. It's based on what he says in the Word. That's the only thing that can accomplish it. When we take that Word and say, and make it our own, it gets established. It grows roots. It takes hold of us so that when we need it, we have it to deal with life, to war against the schemes of the enemy, if you will. Strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. See, that's who you really are. That's who I really am. It's not what you see right here, this imperfect flesh. It's who I really am inside, who he sees me to be, who he made me to be as well. Romans 8:31, speaking about the called, the justified, the glorified, it talks about that in verse 30 before Paul says this in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? Or, I like the King James in this case, who can be? Who can be against us if God's for us? Then moving down to verse 39, that's the whole cornerstone of what Paul's saying here. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That perfect love that the Scripture talks about, he's committed his word, he's committed his very self. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. It always accomplishes what it should. Even with imperfect vessels, we still carry that love of Christ within us. So we need to believe and live in and live for his glory. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, living in and for his glory from Acts 20. And it has to be a target for us, in other words. It has to be something we shoot for, living for his glory. You know, Paul says it this way, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. We have to do it willingly, and we have to do it on an ongoing basis. Because I've learned anything, this flesh wants its way. This flesh wants what it wants to say and wants to do what it wants to do. And that has to be crucified or submitted to the ongoing work of Holy Spirit. And for our part, we need to believe it and submit to it and live by it and live in the glory of God. And Jesus said it this way, in Luke chapter 8, verse 39. This was after he healed the demoniac. And was a powerful demonstration of the power of God that was in our Lord Jesus. That same power is in you. Hello. He's given that same power to you to demonstrate his power to the world. He said, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. And the man subsequently went proclaiming what great things Jesus had done for him. And so, we're rich because of him. We're rich in him. And we're rich for him. That's why he made us rich, to be a demonstration of who he is. And, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, you can go online and you can have a t-shirt made with anything you want these days. You know that? And so this would be an evangelistic t-shirt that would say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. And it would get people's attention because they would think you were talking about money or you just hit the lottery. Well, you hit the lottery all right when you accepted Christ. Amen. But you hit it spiritually speaking, and you will never be the same. You've got the power of Almighty God living inside of you. You've got the goods. He's given you the goods to live a victorious life. And we're going to stop there this morning. I still have quite a bit more. So your fingers can take a rest. You have to really submit this to the Lord. You have to have the veil taken away to truly understand how rich you are. He's made you to be rich. He's filled you with everything you need for life. And he will continue to do that. He's committed to do that. But you have to stay connected. You have to stay plugged in relationship and in covenant. And you have to be willing to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit. So Father, I pray for each one that's watching this morning, each one that I can see this morning. I confess I need your help. This is a tall order to live up to without you. See, that's the key. Without him, it's impossible. But what does the scripture say? With God, all things are possible to them who believe. So I pray that you will open the heart of our understanding. You will re-enlighten us. Light the fuse, light the fire once again. In each one of us, in Jesus' name I pray. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.